Hey, everyone, if you haven't yet, be sure to go to podsurvey.com to take a quick survey to help us get some advertisers and to help us keep this podcast free. That's podsurvey.com/last. Really helps us out a lot. We appreciate every single one of you.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
All you really have to do to kill an old woman is hit her with like a fucking hamper or like, you know, trip her down a flight of stairs. I mean, that's what's fucked up.
Well, kill her with what she loves to play with, you know?
What do you mean?
Hampers.
Do we old women like to play
Elderly
with hampers?
Elderly women cannot get out of the hamper.
Well, that's just because if you tell them it's their bedroom, they crawl in there.
Oh, Deco, so nice to be home. Oh, so dark and small. Where am I?
Rolling her down the stairs.
Where's Nana going on her trip?
Yes. I just cashed Nana's fucking insurance check.
Murder! Are we good to go, Marcus? Welcome to the show. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. As always, we're joined by this fellow.
I'm come over. They say there's a bit of a leak in the apartment, so I gotta come. I gotta shut off your water for you, but you got a real nice figure there. I know you're 89 years old, but you ever think about maybe being like a model or something? Hey, wait a second. I got this. This is a nice scarf. Where'd you get this scarf from?
No! Boston Strangler!
That was really beautiful.
He found ways to reuse things that other people might just throw away.
Let's put it this way. He's the most recycling, environmental conscious
eco-friendly Boston Strangler. Rebranded.
Use what you got. Like the Native Americans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Albert DiCello did use every part of the old lady.
I'm just saying.
Well, now if you kill her and you eat her, that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Because waste not, want not.
That's right.
That's what I always said. But we're all going to learn in this episode, we're covering what we'd like to call the Boston Strangler murders.
Yes.
We don't know who the Boston Strangler is.
I've got a pretty good idea.
After we have done this research, every sort of bit of official line you will hear about the Boston Strangler, you're going to fucking shit your pants forgetting about it.
Lies and nonsense, dare I say BS.
And also, I think a good thing to learn for the ladies out there on this show is if a man who is a day-to-day worker who just comes in your house, and he tells you got a
plumber,
nice figure.
For example.
Yeah, or a cable man, or a landlord, or a fake police officer.
Any man
who just comes in your house after sort of randomly buzzing you, and you don't know reason. You have no reason for him to be there.
Right.
If he starts telling you how beautiful you are,
but you know you're kind of ugly.
Yeah. At least no one has ever once specifically said you should be a model.
Right.
You know.
And you live in Boston.
He's like, yes, maybe it could be like a Nicolas Cage. What was that movie where he was a police officer? We gave a lot of ticket to the waitress. It had to be something.
Oh,
it had to be something or something retarded.
right.
They are lying. They are going to kill you. Do not take nude pictures for a man with a workman's outfit on. I'm just going to say that.
It doesn't matter what Instagram filter he promises to use to get rid of your warts or your varicose veins.
The only reason to ever get a random set of nude pictures taken from a man is if he's noticeably gay, if he's got bleach dreadlocks, he's of indeterminate race, nose ring, scarf around his neck, because that's how you know he's an artist.
Sort of a Dov Charnov type character. American Apparel. We're going for big, beautiful Boston women this season. You're one of them. Then you can take some erotic nudes.
We're doing an extra. It's a reverse psychology campaign where you say, look how bad they look in these clothes. Think about how good you look in these clothes when they're not in these clothes.
And this has been another installment of how Last Podcast on the Left just saved your life.
Well, the Boston Strangler murders, it refers to a series of possibly up to 13, but most likely 11 murders.
And 6 technical real murders. Again, I'm jumping ahead.
You're jumping
Henry,
ahead.
What's
You're
a fake ahead. Murder to you, though? I just want to know.
I mean, a fake murder is something that's like, I want to have some meaning to it.
Right.
It can't just be for the money.
Right.
You know, it can't just be for the fame and the glory. It's got to be because you woke up that day and you had the compulsion to murder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These occurred in Boston, in and around Boston, in the early 60s. Most of the victims were, well, I'd say actually about half of the victims, and in fact, the victims that were most likely the victims of the actual Boston Strangler were all old ladies, mm-hmm. while the rest of them were young girls.
Now, okay. Now, to do what he does to old ladies, we're going to put this out there. Normally, when you see this happening to a string of old lady murderers, is that somebody's real mad at their mom.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And not like a mad and like a, I'm staying in my room, mom, slamming the door, listening to fucking Metallica on big, like cans, mad at your mom.
Right.
It's like a type of mad at your mom that you kind of want to take a bunch of forks, rip up a vagina.
Oh, yeah, you know, like a potato. Yeah.
So the series of crimes, which are now united under the Boston Strangler label, began on June.
Also, I love this as like an umbrella company. Like, we have Nike, but we also have Air Jordans. And now Air Jordans are technically Nikes, but they're also Air Jordans.
They picked up Albert DeSalvo, but I also heard they're picking up Three Doors Down. You remember that album?
Oh, my. Don't even Superman bring them up. Kryptonite. Don't bring them up.
You know?
Yeah. Yikes. That's the most horrific thing
Taboo
I've ever thought about.
Underneath. Make her a present. Make her a present for Jesus.
Thank God white people aren't paid to express their feelings on radio anymore.
Yeah.
I'm much more into, I would take Lupe Fiasco any day over Three Doors Down.
So the first murder started, the first murder was on June 14th, 1962. It was 56-year-old Anna Slessers, who lived just behind the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Now, originally, the police told
you
her...
Just imagine her every night, like, can you keep it down? Hey, guys!
I appreciate that there's art being made down there, but if I hear a tuba one more time, I'm gonna come down there with a crossbow.
They don't have tubas in symphonies.
I don't know.
Yeah, when was the last time you saw listen to a Beethoven sonata?
I don't know the music tuba. For it. No, I didn't like that one. Not oompa enough for me. I love a tuba.
It's not a song if it doesn't have a tuba beat.
Mm-hmm. Well, originally, okay, so her son found her, and originally police told her son that Anna had committed suicide.
Of course, don't worry, kid. She fucking off this stuff. Don't worry. Get out of here. Hey, it's a dollar. Go get me a cup of coffee. Thanks so much, kid.
They told her that she had hanged herself in the corner of the bathroom door with the cord of her bathrobe. Her body had fallen to the floor, and the body lay next to the bathroom. Let me ask you if this sounds like a suicide.
She lay outstretched, a fragile-appearing woman with brown bobbed hair and thin mouth, lying on her back on a gray runner. She wore a blue taffeta house coat with a red lining, but it had been spread completely apart in front, so that from shoulders down, she was nude. She lay grotesquely, her head a few feet from the open bathroom door, her left leg stretched straight towards him, the other flung wide, almost at right angles, and bent at the knee so that she was grossly exposed.
Now, I haven't seen my mom in a long time, but I don't normally remember her laying like that.
Right, right.
You know, unless she's getting a couple of boudoir poaches made or something. I don't know. Ma, get up. Quit being a whore.
Some kind of bizarre yoga position. It was the 60s. People were experimenting with different yogi things.
The blue cloth cord of her house coat had been knotted tightly about her neck, its ends turned up so that might have been a bow. There was a spot of blood under her head. And when the homicide detective showed up, the cop on the scene said,
"There's nothing to it, it's suicide." I'll tell you what, Tony, I bet you $5 is suicide. Hey, look at this. Hey, talk on her leg. I bet she's not even dead. Hey, wake up. Wake up, bitch. Wake up.
See if she can queef.
That is no joke. That is no joke. The cop on the scene was sitting there. He was sitting there outside of the door, outside of the crime scene. The homicide detective shows up, and the fucking cop's like, "Nah, it's suicide. Open and shut case."
I'm Bobby Idiot Guy, so I have never not solved a crime. You wouldn't believe how many suicides. Just the other day, I was walking down the street. This guy came up and shot another guy in the head. This guy had another guy come in and shoot him.
What a crazy suicide.
What an elaborate suicide.
I gotta tell you, and that's why when people say depression's an illness, you know, I believe them.
I believe it.
Because it takes a true illness. You gotta have like a fever or something to call up a buddy and say, "Hey, why don't you go buy a gun and come shoot me in the middle of the street?"
Yeah, we got a 911 call just the other day. This woman's like, he's murdering me. Elaborate suicide? Like, what the fuck?
So here's, the first thing to remember here is a bow tied around her neck.
Which is just the starting, it's the beginning of a bow. It, that's what they said. They looked at it and it looked as if it was a bow. They didn't really like, it started to be one.
Marcus, right. Can you answer me this? This is the first one that shows up in the entire Boston Strangler sort of legacy, right?
This is the first one that has been named as a part of the Boston Strangler. So,
do you think that this does seem a little bit more elaborate than somebody's first kill, don't you think?
Yes, it absolutely does. So another detail that you'll see again and again in these murders is that the house had been ransacked as if he was searching for something, but no valuables were taken.
Or it's a common thing. Even Richard Ramirez did it once or twice with the idea of a killer who comes in and... like basically ransacks his space. It makes it look like a robbery.
Right.
So it looks like it has another motive. So immediately the police are investigating the robbery instead of investigating the murder.
Yeah. Right. And the other weird thing is that in a lot of these murders, it's not a full ransack situation. They'll see certain objects, in this case, a stack of color slides just placed neatly on the floor. Some things were thrown around, but other things were just placed neatly.
And then a small gold watch had been left behind inside of all of Anna's jewelry. There's no sign of forced entry again.
Again. I mean, here's something that we'll see again and again. Mm. There was no sign of forced entry whatsoever on any of these cases. Not a single one. Is there a sign of forced entry, meaning that whoever killed these women either A, talked his way into the place, or B, broke in while the ladies weren't at home and waited for them to come home, BTK style?
Because you have it here. It's when they found her, she had let a stranger into her home, and she wasn't even wearing her fucking denture. She was in a robe.
Yeah, she was in a robe.
Oh,
she was shy. She was retired.
If I know elderly women as well as I know I do... they always put on the dentures when a man's coming to town. So that is a sign of a surprise attack.
You never know if you're going to get your picture taken.
Right.
You know what I mean? And nothing is, to me, more disgusting than someone without their teeth. And when they go that weird, like that... Thank you. You want them cookies?
Yeah. If you ever watch Ren and Stimpy, occasionally they'll do a close-up on Ren's face, and whenever he's sad, he's
when he gives him the tooth, and that's that dentist episode.
Oh, God, that one freaks me out.
You shouldn't have.
The ransack seems like a fun thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what you live in, right? It's like your house has been pre-robbed, but technically that's how you keep your stuff.
Yeah, well, if by robbed you mean the guy brought you extra jelly... then indeed, your house has been ransacked. What I'm saying is this morning I woke up with two jellies.
Two jellies?
Two different jellies, and there was a spoon in them. So I was eating those.
That is really great.
All right.
So the next victim was 2 weeks later, a woman named Nina Nichols, known to be an energetic woman who looked much younger than her 68 years.
So, hey, man, stop selling me. I'm already getting horny enough starting this episode.
She failed to show up at her sister's house for an overnight visit, and when her sister didn't arrive on time, her sister called the apartment house and asked the janitor to check up on Miss Nichols.
Thank God no one ever calls me to go check on the rooms. Oh, yeah, I just need a Jimmy the locker. Oh, I kind of like to go in a secret, see something secret.
Why is that? Why is that cobweb ringing? What the? A phone? I have a phone!
No one ever calls the janitor. Janitor just goes and looks at the toilet, but the toilet's just a seat with the hole in it, kind of like my heart.
They just see everything clean, but they don't know who did it. I did it.
So when the janitor opens up the door to the apartment, looks like a robbery straight off, but he walks into the apartment, of course, because it looks suspicious. He walks into the bedroom, and what he sees is the body of Nina Nichols, her feet propped up, legs spread wide open, directly in his line of vision.
Now, I couldn't help but go and maybe take a closer look at the cleft of the woman that left in there. But then I knew I better clean up.
Yeah.
And I just whopped my mop all over.
So she still had on her pink house coat and a white slip. Those both had been pulled up over her waist. Two nylon stockings had been tied so tightly around her neck that they cut into her flesh.
Yeah.
And that is important to remember. Remember, two nylon stockings. Now, and I'll admit right now is that this is going to be a lot of ins and outs to this case. There's going to be a lot of details that you're going to need to remember when we're talking about this.
Because in terms of big hitters, we've never really seen, because normally, you know, it's like everybody, you know, John Wayne Gacy said he was innocent until the end of time, and there it's several killers at once that, like, we again realize are one killer, serial killers, because at this time, too, this is before the coining of the term serial killer.
This is 1962.
Yeah.
The term serial killer wouldn't be invented for another 9 years.
Yeah, and they don't know that this type of crime can happen. So they have a hard time piecing it all together. Mm-hmm. But this is the one time where it's like we're really probably looking at three different killers.
Yeah, at least.
How strong are these nylons? I mean, most women can't go out the front door without getting a snag or getting a run.
My grandmother
had... I'm saying is, if I ran a nylon company, I would say, Boston Strangler strong. You can literally cut through flesh with these.
My grandmother had a set of nylons so fucking thick. They had been around since, like, 1952. You could, like, you could basically tie them from tree to tree across a road, and it could stop a car. All right, so again, so now this is real, the first appearance of the full bow. When they got to her, it was like it was at a gigantic cartoon-like bow that was tied around her neck with the two nylons, and she was naked except for a watch and a pair of blue sneakers, which I got to tell you is how I want to go.
Yeah.
And she...
But I'm going to be in a penthouse in Las Vegas also sitting on top of a gold toilet.
Oh, that'll be very nice.
Now, this one detail about Nina Nichols herself that we'll see show up again and again in the victims is that she worked at Massachusetts Memorial Hospital in the past, and almost every single one of these victims had some connection to a hospital or some sort of rehabilitative facility at one point in their lives.
Well, there's not a lot of options for jobs in Boston. You know,
I mean, you're like literally Boston. It's either you're a professional meathead whose job is to hand out Red Sox hats or you're a scientist.
Right. Right. And this is before all those Affliction t-shirts came out. So they didn't know what to wear. It was difficult to be a meathead in the 60s. Your style of fashion wasn't quite caught up with you yet.
So this next murder happened the exact same fucking day. This is why I think that this is the end of a killing spree rather than the beginning of one.
Because literally we're watching someone in the middle of a berserk mode.
Yeah, right,
this
exactly.
This is a berserk mode. Like, this is not... it has been building up to this. I'm sure there were plenty of stranglings that happened before. You know, I'm sure he... We see that in other serial killers where guys, they experiment. They try out a lot of different things so they find out what makes them hard.
It becomes grander as they go because it also becomes more difficult to excite themselves.
Yeah.
So, like, they have to flourish it a little bit more. But then you look at, we'll get to the Mary Sullivan case. Like, that's another one that's like, but that's kind of nuts. That was so extravagant.
It's huge. Helen Blake, she was a retired nurse. Important to remember. Her body was discovered at 5 p.m. She was face down on her bed, legs apart. Her pajamas had been pulled up over her shoulders. And that's a weird little detail that you also see is a lot of these women, not all of them are nude. A lot of them just have their clothes pulled up over their shoulders.
Were they victims of sexual assault or he was just...
Well, that's the thing is that some of them were molested and some of them were assaulted.
Molested.
Yeah. Murder
fist has forever ruined the word molested, which is a very serious word, and no one should ever laugh if somebody tells you that they were molested.
But that's the first thing you hear when someone...
Molested! Henry does a character where he is molested, and of course they turn it into a very funny thing.
Me.
Yeah. And that makes my life more uncomfortable.
Yeah, Gardner, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great sketch. Yeah. So some were sexually assaulted, others were not at all.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, some were just molested, which I think is...
We can't make the word molested funny, though, because it's... Okay.
We can't. I think it is an important... I think it is a very important distinction when we're talking about the multiple killers theory, because the old ladies, they were molested. Some might say probed for, I guess, experimentation
what
purposes.
What they look like, too, is that because it was also with objects around the room, because Nina had her vagina was knick-knocked with a thing in the house, and they didn't know what it was. And this one is with a beer bottle.
Yeah.
Is that your official forensic report? Well, now, her vagina was knick-knacked.
I'm not really sure how to... Because you could just say, like, what do you say? It was floofy-doof? That's not a term. Pokey-doked?
Dingle-bummed.
Dingle-bummed.
Okay.
So, yes, her vagina was dingle-bummed with a beer bottle until it was all fucked up.
All right.
I don't mean to make light.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So a nylon stocking was tied around Helen Blake's neck. Her cotton bra had been looped up under the stockings, and its ends were brought forward to tie another bow around her chin. No sign of forced entry. No one heard any voices raised. And Helen Blake, let it be known that she would not have gone down easy. Bit of a burly woman.
And known to be gruff.
Well, that's okay. Yeah.
Known to be a gruff woman, about 165 pounds.
They should have just had everybody take turns, every male take turns wrapping a present in front of the precinct and just see how they do it.
Well, yeah. Because the problem is that if they can't like,
get... And now it's time to gift wrap.
Yeah, and if they can't get through the gift wrapping process without raping the box, you know that he's the guy.
You're it.
So Nina, she had been killed between 8 and 10 a.m., while Helen... was killed between 5 and 6 p.m. So this guy did it in the morning, just waited a little while for his motor to rev back up again, and then did it again later on that night.
Literally went to whatever restaurant existed in 1962 that people loved to go to, had a little lunch, had a little music, and then just went right back to it. Huh?
Oh, yeah. He went to a sock hop and then saw like some sort of rally, and then he listened to Jimi Hendrix's first album and then did it again.
Yeah. The next one, he waited 2 weeks. Ida Erga, she was found dead on August 21st. Quiet woman of 75 who kept to herself. She was found strangled in her locked apartment, and she had been dead for 2 days. In another hospital connection, she made weekly visits to Massachusetts Memorial Hospital to pick up her special skin ointment.
Hey, Tommy, I can't go to the hospital to get my ointment. Can you go and get my skin ointment for me, Tommy?
I really wish I didn't have to.
I can't rub it on myself, so when you get here, can you rub it on me?
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you a $20 bill, and we're gonna pretend like we didn't have this conversation.
Well, it does. I mean, the berserker mode, the two in one day, and then a bit of a break. That is not uncommon when they don't get caught. We saw that with Andre Chikatilo.
Because the idea is that they're ramping up, and then pretty much they kind of assume, well, I'm gonna get caught any day here, and then it's like a couple of weeks of watching the news, and then nothing happening, and then being like, uh-oh, I'm hard for mayhem again.
right.
Yeah, we saw Ted Bundy. He got caught in a berserker rage with in the Florida State.
Right.
Well, he really left it all on the dance floor.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy also. He was in a bit of a berserker. He was getting sloppy, shitting in his own backyard.
He ran out of fucking room.
Well, the reason why Gacy got brought down is because he killed that teenager from the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The little receipt for the photo. That's what brought Gacy down.
All you got to do is kill one little boy with a bright future. And then that's you're it. Fucked. Everything's fucked.
Yeah, God. When you're fucking killing gay dudes that are just cruising on the streets of fucking Milwaukee, that's fine.
Easy
but
street.
But you kill one kid on his way to getting a college education, and all of a sudden, the 32 bodies mean something.
He could have been a regular Gerald Ford if he hadn't killed him.
Isn't that something? God, it still surprises me to this day that Gacy just lived... To the point, so many murders, he literally just ran out of room to hide bodies.
Oh, yeah. He was doing fine.
Anyway, back to Boston.
So Ida Erga, she had been strangled by human hands, and then to finish off the job, one of her pillowcases was used to tie around her neck. And I think that what that may have been is because you always see the stockings over and over again. And in fact, the Boston Globe, when they first broke the story, it was originally named the Silk Stockings Murder.
Ooh, Silk Stockings. That reminds me of that saucy Showtime show.
Yeah. USA Up All Night.
Oh, USA. Yeah.
Who was on that? Was it Rip
David
Duchovny? Gilson? Rip Gilson?
Rip Gilson. He had a very short Hollywood career.
He just did
Gilson.
That show and then committed suicide next to a donut factory.
Very weird.
So Ida's nightdress had been torn, exposing her body, which shows a little, that shows some escalation on the part of the killer. Her legs were spread 5 feet from heel to heel, and her feet were propped up on individual chairs, and a bed pillow was placed underneath her buttocks so as to showcase her vagina. Because what we had in a lot of these cases is the killer positioned the body so that when whoever walked into the room, the first thing they would see was a gaping old lady vagina.
I would put it this way. If you really wanted to showcase the vagina, you would put it in between two mirrors because that's important. Mm-hmm. It gives an illusion of space. And also... put some flowers in there. I don't mean to be insensitive.
Well,
I'm just
saying. That would be insensitive,
That
though.
Would be insensitive and mean. I don't mean to be mean.
Yeah.
You know, we're searching for what's interesting. I'm trying to give hints.
Yeah. I can't stop thinking of the female artist that does nothing but the vagina paintings. It's sort of like that.
George O'Keefe.
Yeah, George O'Keefe.
And so I'm going to wait. Should I read
Not all. They're not all vaginas, but many of them look like vaginas.
They're all vaginas.
It's up to interpretation.
Vagina. And I'm going to give a little bit of Albert DeSalvo's confession for the Ida, the murder of Ida Erga.
And here's one thing that I don't think we properly explained up top about this Albert DeSalvo guy. If you don't know anything about the Boston Strangler cases, there was a man that went down for all of these murders. His name was Albert DeSalvo, and he confessed to all of these crimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, the layperson would say Boston Strangler DeSalvo, and that's case closed.
But he's more of sort of a Puck from
the real world,
character who just likes to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And he possibly confessed. Puck, we're going to cover all this later on. He confessed possibly to just have the notoriety of being the Boston Strangler. So I'm going to read a little bit of his confession for the murder of Ida Erga.
At this time, it was very famous, right? It was all over the news. Everyone knew about this, right?
At this point, it is we're about to get into the fever pitch of hysteria that Boston went into.
Now, this is literally barely an exaggeration of how Albert DeSalvo spoke.
I said I wanted to do some work in the apartment, and she didn't trust me because of the things that were going on, and she had a suspicion of letting, you know, allowing anybody into the apartment without knowing definitely who they were. And I talked to her very briefly, and I told her not to worry. I just soon come back tomorrow, rather than, you know, in other words, if you don't trust me, I'll come back tomorrow. And then, you know, I started to walk downstairs, and she said, well, come in here, come in. And we went into the bedroom where I was supposed to look at a leak at the window, and when she turned, I put my arm around her neck, and I just went, I think it went through like a parlor as you walked in, and a dining room and a bedroom. Oh, and before the bedroom, there was a kitchen, and the bedroom was way back. The bed was white. I wasn't made either. She was in the midst probably of making the bed up, and there was an old dresser there, and I opened the drawers up, and there was like nothing in them. There's nothing there, and they were empty. And when I did get her by the neck and I strangled her, I manually strangled her. I noticed, and just the blood was coming out of ears. It's very dark.
Yeah.
Very dark. The bright ear. I remember that. And I think there was a dining room set in there. A very dark one. Nice. Good, nice cherry wood. And there was a brown chairs around it. Ooh, nice. Walnut. It's nice to see good chairs made. You barely really see it. It's hard now because everyone's getting things from IKEA. Everything's falling apart.
Right.
And I recall putting the legs up on the two chairs in a wide position just so I could, I just kind of pound at it. And I just did it. I didn't choose the old woman because attractiveness had nothing to do with it. She was just a woman, and that was enough.
Any gal will do. He's not ageist anyway. Did he really mention the table?
No, he did mention the table.
That is such a classic, like, stupid person thing. Like, very nice table. Like,
very nice table.
Like, some people just notice things.
Look at that table. That's a very nice table.
Was that cherry oak? It's a yes.
I guess.
Sure. So DeSalvo, very high-pitched voice. One would argue that he might have been looking for respect amongst his peers.
Possibly.
So 8 days later, Jane Sullivan, a fucking nurse, again, who lived alone, she was found strangled in her first floor apartment. She had been dead more than a week. Her body was discovered placed in a half-kneeling position. Her face was down in the bathtub. Her face and forearms were submerged 6 inches in the water so that her buttocks was exposed.
What was really cruel was that whoever the murderer was also dumped a bunch of apples into the water. I guess he must have confused her with this sort of, we're going to practice bobbing for apples.
Well, you never know. The county fair is just around the corner, and you don't want to lose for the 13th straight year in the annual Boston Apple Bobbing Competition.
So again, her house coat had been pulled over her shoulders, but her girdle was pushed just above her waist. Her underwear had been pulled down around her ankles, and finally, she had been strangled with two of her own nylon stockings tied together, and there would not be another strangling for 3 months.
You know, it's just too... First of all, don't get into the healthcare business. That's what we're learning here whatsoever. Don't care for your fellow man because one of those men will just end up murdering you. Second of all, no matter how unattractive you feel, there's always a man for you.
There's a man who's going to try and kill you just to get to your body.
You think if you're a woman, like, oh, I've gone through menopause, I feel like I should be safe from sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. And between then next this thing you know, and the rise of Helen Mirren and what Meryl Streep can do, I think this just shows that life's not over when you're 40.
No.
I mean, unless you get killed.
Yeah.
And life's over when you're 40. Right. Yeah.
So let's talk about Boston for a second. Let's talk about the general mood in Boston around this time.
Now, ignorant and stupid.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, you remember, remember that Boston was and still is, despite being, you know, what they say, Taxachusetts, very liberal place, Boston was and still is a very conservative and puritanical town. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget how many witches they burned in Boston, and that sort of attitude has definitely prevailed to this day. It's very Bastards. Conservative. So really, what people were freaked out about with these murders, it wasn't that women were being killed, it's that they were being sexually molested. The sexual nature of the crimes, that's what really bothered
me. It's a very conservative town, and also when what we're going to see, too, is that when the murders switch to younger women, it's this fear, like, literally, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and there was, they said that they ran out of dogs. Mm-hmm. The city pounds ran out of dogs, and hardware stores ran out of locks, because people kept buying locks. But what they didn't realize is just like, they let him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's not breaking into people's houses.
The second woman, now, her door was locked from the inside, though, right?
A couple of them were locked from the inside.
And there's really no, was he just like a Copperfield, a David Blaine type, just like poof, he's out of there?
It's possible that he got in through a window.
Yeah.
And
I do have I just had a fantasy of me and my wife back in Salem, Massachusetts, and they're taking her away, and I say, that's not a witch, that's my wife! but they still take her from me, and I hate those goddamn Boston Puritan bastards.
But then eventually, you know, we're like, actually, it's kind of nice to be alone.
She was kind of a witch.
So mass hysteria had completely gripped the entire city of Boston. And not only were people afraid, but it seemed like the weirdos in Boston were kind of ratcheting up their act a little bit. At a local YWCA, the manager of a cafeteria reported a strange young man who would repeatedly try to strike up friendships and conversations with elderly old ladies eating alone.
Hey, what are you doing? Are you eating Jell-O? It's so funny. It's so funny. I was eating Jell-O yesterday. How you doing, huh? How's that dress? How's that dress? Ooh, scratchy. I like it. Oh, it's big on you, huh? I'm from Munkatonka. It's north of you. Yeah.
Munkatonka.
Yeah, but we go back to my house and we play hide your flip-flops under my bed game.
Huh? Does sound like a fun game.
On six different occasions, after this strange young man had finished his meal and left, the bus girl found razor blades folded up in his napkins.
And this is really scary story. I love this. Yeah. The nurse who called the police about a prowler, she received a doll in her mail a week later with a miniature nylon stocking twisted around its neck with a note attached that said, "The police can't watch you forever."
Crafty. It's very crafty.
It's very Etsy-like. It's very fun. It's kind of like what we get here at the studio when people send us gifts.
Yeah.
But it's fun when we get them.
Oh, and man. If you'd like to send us a gift, 1093 Jackson Avenue, Long Island City, New York. So tearful women also started calling police to report obscene phone calls. Men were murmuring lewd suggestions over the phone or just doing the old creepy heavy breathing and
then
hanging up.
This is kind of like, it's like beetle fever. It's like when the killings started happening, there's a bunch of guys like, oh yeah, now we can all be creepy. Yeah. Cool.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Women were receiving calls from a man claiming to be a physician.
Hello, my name is Dr. Mifflin. I want to check your heart and your breast.
That's what he would say. He'd say, like, I want to check your heart.
Let me come. When is the best time to call?
Well, you've got to be a real doctor. You did call me and say
my
you
name
were.
Is Dr. Mifflin? What did I say? I say
Mifflin.
So funny. My brother's named Dr. Mifflin.
Okay.
I'll be coming over soon.
Okay, that's great. I'll have my best nylons on for you.
So, one woman, she reported having seen a man in rouge and lipstick wearing women's clothing and high heels.
That was just a Boston woman.
They said it was obviously a man. It was very much a man. Okay. I don't know if it had the 5 o'clock shadow or what.
Well, it's always when a guy's like walking down the street, he's in a dress and makeup and stuff, but he keeps like flexing, going and like,
right,
oh
right.
Yeah, oh yeah, come and check these cinder blocks.
God, fuck me. You fuck me, I'd fuck me.
He was wearing long white gloves, he had a full brown ensemble, except for the long white gloves, and he was in her apartment building just riding the elevator up and down.
That's
and this
normal.
Was not far from where
autistic.
Nina Nichols. This was not far from where Nina Nichols lived, which that was the reason for the call. Otherwise they would have just let him be.
Number one, he could have been in the middle of some hilarious caper, like in Some Like It Hot, or he could have been David Bowie just doing new fashion.
You never know.
Also, a long-haired man named Psycho Charlie was arrested for prying dimes out of a parking meter.
I'm going to say, it's not so much Psycho as it is like really poor Charlie.
Really poor Charlie.
I'm going to go with Psycho Charlie for the scare.
It's the way he's doing it. It's because he's like, it's not like what he's doing. It's that him going like, I'm going to get this faggot parking meter. Screaming. It's just like, it's weird that he keeps calling it the F word and like prying it out with a crowbar and screaming about how like the government's got put microphones in his shoes. The crime is just sad.
It's sad, poor Charlie. Yeah.
And some women claim that he had been slipping obscene notes underneath their doors.
It is a different time, though, man. At least you got a phone call. At least you got some personal attention.
Are you saying that the depersonalization of the internet is taking away some of the handmade crafting of assaulting and terrorizing women?
Absolutely. Here's your e-holiday card, or here's your you might not be alive very long card, but show up.
All you got to do is delete that off the computer, and he doesn't have to haunt you anymore.
Yeah, that's fine. In another incident, a dapper, good-looking young man was arrested in a movie theater. His police report said, the man apparently suffers from a form of sexual deviation. He has a climax from seeing the open toes of women in theaters or beaches. He carries a pen flashlight so he can see them in darkened theaters.
That's Ben Kissel's thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not in defeat yet, but I'm trying to get there.
The police were also called after a woman had seen a smiling, neatly dressed man coming towards her, and only after he passed did she realize that out of his breast pocket stuck not a handkerchief, but the tip of a nylon stocking.
Ooh,
interesting.
Very interesting.
Again, just fashion forward.
I think that's probably true. Yeah.
Old ladies were also awoken by phone calls in the middle of the night by a husky voice that said,
"Darling, can I come over now?"
Well, you sound to be about 300, 400 pounds.
Yeah. You bet. Actually, so if we could maybe reverse that, then I'll give you my personal address, and maybe you could stop by, because not exactly the most mobile these days.
Sounds a little house... a little bit bedridden.
And finally, a housewife in Brockton, expecting a friend, opened her door to a knock to find a stranger standing in front of her. She immediately fell dead of a heart attack from fright. However, the stranger was just selling encyclopedias.
Yeah, now we'll never move A through
encyclopedias.
J. Exactly. Oh, Encyclopedia Britannica. Remember that door-to-door encyclopedias before Wikipedia?
That's how I learned what sex was.
What a terrible thing to have to sell. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to sell the heaviest thing I can. A fucking bunch of encyclopedias.
We had a man come and try to sell us a new set, and because he came in, he was sweaty and really, really fat in a suit, and he was sitting in a thing, and it's like, because we already had one. He's like, look what you got over there. Like, those are old ones. Yeah. But I got some new ones.
That's 1988 nonsense.
And it was me just coming and being like, I have a CD-ROM with all of the encyclopedias and this one little thin disc of silicone.
So you showed him Encarta?
You showed him the end of his job?
I just got to move this last bunch. I'm living in a car I half own with another salesman. We have to trade. Sometimes he sleeps in the front and I sleep in the trunk, and then we trade every Wednesday. Oh,
so sad to just watch your job become obsolete.
Mm. So the police in Boston at this time have no clues whatsoever.
I mean, they're just calling everything suicide.
Well, no, they're just looking at these murders happening, and they don't know. They just think there's like they don't know. It's all coincidence.
Yeah, because at this point in time, right. A homicide detective, and this is not just in Boston, this is all over the country. A homicide detective was always working on the assumption that the killer knew the victim, that the killer had some sort of connection to him. Random killings didn't even enter into their mind because really, 99 times out of 100, they're right. Yeah. Like 99 times out of 100, a murder is done by a person that the victim knows.
And this is also still the time where every little police department was fighting with every other little police department so they could crack the case. So you had this personal dispute going on for no reason because everyone's just like, can you solve the murders? Can you just do that?
And also,
he's like, I'm not talking to O'Brien over at Station 173. He looked at my girlfriend in high school. I hate that motherfucker.
You also have this thing, too. I think there's also a stigma, and they don't realize... Even though, I mean, we already had Nazi Germany, but no one really got the fucking details of Nazi Germany. Of, like, these they thought that they're like, well, who'd kill an old lady besides somebody who had like a reason to kill an old lady? Like that, like she hated her, or like he was just randomly burglarizing her and he wanted to like shut her up, or she like freaked out and she died and he had to figure out what to do with her. They never thought about the psychosexual killer.
Yeah, pure right. evil was not any, something that entered into their mind whatsoever.
Was there semen and stuff found in these scenes?
No,
ever. Even if she was, you know, popped with a goddamn beer bottle, he still wasn't like coming all
not
over the place.
Not the first five, not the old ladies. None. You did not see cum with any of the old ladies. You only saw that with the younger ladies.
Okay.
Which is, I think, a very important detail.
So now they mean
sexually molested. Versus sexually assaulted.
Now all the sex offenders in Boston. So this is really interesting. So they just went through everybody and they tried to gather all the sex offenders in all of Boston, 18 to 40. And the big thing they were looking for is that the person suffering from a paranoia of mother hate.
Okay.
Which is very
paranoia of mother hate.
Which is a fucking killer album title.
Oh yeah,
that is a direct quote. By the way, I took that directly from the police report.
That sounds awesome.
Yes. Special attention should be paid to persons suffering from a paranoia of mother hate.
That sounds like there's like a garage band called like Lickable Toads. It's like, that's our first song, Paranoia of Mother Hate.
The apartments were meticulously searched. All they came up with was a thread from a man's suit, a button, and a single human hair. That's all five apartments.
God, it sounds like a cartoon, like, amount of evidence. Like,
oh,
it
they
just
had
sounds
no
like
idea.
The
it's
smallest
like,
amount.
Okay, we got a suit. Oh, that's fun. We got a button. Oh, that puts on a suit. Right. I make that a suit. And we got a... It's a single human hair. I don't even know if this is a man's hair. I don't even know if this whose hair this be. This could be anything. It could be from a doll. We right. don't even have the machines that... I don't even know why we're collecting hair.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah. At that point, hair, there was no DNA tests or anything like right. that. I guess you could match it. It's like, oh, the hair is brown. He's got brown hair. Arrest him. And the police, they were, of course, very upset about not being able to solve these crimes. At the homicide division, concealed behind a screen in a small room, they had a wooden board. A length of rope had been brought through each hole and a knot tied to it. And if the board was turned around, you could see name tags have been attached to each knot. Anna Slessers, Nina Nichols, Helen Blake, Ida Erga, and Jane Sullivan.
And you know that was like the new private fucking like Blake who shows up me like, guys, I have made a fantastic art project that I think that is really going to demonstrate what's been going on. I've got a little bit of wooden board and then I tie these little knots for each one
it's
of them.
It's a vision board.
It's a Lent calendar.
I'll tell you, that Blake is a man's man. He's always surrounded by women. He lives alone. He's got that bachelor
and
lifestyle.
And the best part is that if you open up one of the knots, I pull a little piece of chocolate in there. And so if we break one of the cases, God. You get a little prize.
That's
you're opening
incentive.
Up the knot.
That's an incentive.
So on December 5th, 3 months after Jane Sullivan, the pattern changes completely.
We got a 180 here.
A complete 180. Sophie Clark, she was an attractive black woman in her 20s. She was found dead. Now let's think about this for a second. The one thing we know about serial killers, we know lots of stuff about serial killers. One thing we do know is that serial killers almost always
have a type.
Have a type. Mm-hmm. And they almost always kill their own race.
Is it possible?
Very rarely do you see people going outside of their own race, and you never see them switching it up. You never see them changing races.
Right, right. Is it possible, like we were talking about with the black
almost
serial
never.
Killers, and I've had this conversation before, we call it the less dead, we've talked about this. Is it possible you also have grandparents, and we live in a society where young matters? The Iggy Azaleas of the world. Is it possible that there was a connection, the Iggy Azalea? Is it possible there's a connection between... No one cares about grandmothers. He thinks he can also get away with just killing this young
No, 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 no. The type of degradation that was happening to the bodies of the older women were very... It's about the impulse. Because serial killers, they're doing it because they're telling their own personal story a lot of the times. They're illustrating either an event that has happened to them over and over again, and they're trying to take their revenge of that. Like, you know, like when someone says something stupid to you, and then you think about it like 3 days later, and be like,
right.
I should have said, you're the tart boy.
Right,
you know
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
you know, I should have... But so it's that over and over again where this is, you're also going to see the nature of the crime change. It's like she was viciously sexually assaulted.
Yes. Yeah, she was.
So some people go to an interpretive dance, and some people just go through a series of different murders.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some people write a one-person show.
Right.
And some people become total murderers.
I see.
Yeah. So this girl, Sophie Clark, the other difference between her and the old ladies, besides the different race and the drastic change in age, Sophie Clark was 20. She also had roommates. All the rest of the women were single spinsters. They were, because that also goes into the theory that the strangler broke in and waited for the old ladies to come home, or just waited for the right moment to pounce. Whereas Sophie Clark, she had roommates.
Mm-hmm. And how many roommates?
She had two roommates.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was a roommate who found her at 5:30 p.m. on December 5th. She had been strangled with three nylon stockings, which was a new feature.
Okay.
They were twisted so tightly they were almost lost in her flesh, knotted underneath her chin. And unlike the others, she had been gagged.
And again, this is in the newspapers. It's just like, nylon stockings are used to murder all these women. If you do want to murder a bunch of women, use nylon stockings and we'll print it out.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll print it out. We'll talk about you.
The newspaper had been printing so many details. In fact,
right.
the medical examiner was feeding information to the newspaper.
And they put up these huge...
Really feeding all details
to
the newspaper.
They put up these huge charts that featured every bit of information about each crime. And because they were really getting, a lot of buyers. People were buying the newspaper because they were really paranoid, and they wanted to see that their lives didn't match the victim's lifestyle.
There's like a Zodiac killer type thing happening as well, and this is before Sudoku, so everyone's just like, I'm gonna solve that Zodiac situation.
Yeah. Well, they just did it to fill space. It's also the most compelling thing that's going on, and everybody's concerned with it.
Right.
And everybody's scared. It's fear sells papers once again. And they would print shit like top five clues of the Boston Strangler.
Were they smart enough to do what they do now, where it's just like she had a tattoo on her left foot when in reality it's on the right foot, and only the killer would
know?
We will
see
like
that comes into play.
Yeah, we'll see that comes into play later. She had been gagged. None of the other old ladies had been gagged. She was nude. She had been violently sexually assaulted.
Because the rest of them had just been molested.
Yes, all the rest had just been molested. And unlike the others, the killer ejaculated into the crime scene. They came on the rug.
That's major. They came on the rug. It's like the Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
really tied the room together.
Yeah. And you also wouldn't see semen until the very last victim, which will also, that little detail right there is very important.
The thing about her too is that she had a boyfriend out of town.
Yeah.
And that when she was discovered, she'd been writing her boyfriend a letter, but she was this very conservative but attractive woman.
She's hot.
She was like saying, but basically she had been known by her friends as someone who's very wary of men and would not open up conversation with men randomly on the street, but something happened in the conversation because he was let in again without a struggle. But then there was a report later on of a man downstairs in the building at 2 p.m. that day, basically saying that the super had let him in to paint the apartment.
Yeah,
and okay. Again, we're going to see him in green workman pants.
Yeah, he's wearing green pants. That is very, very. Very important. And the other important thing is that when the woman let him in downstairs, or the woman was talking to the guy in green slacks downstairs at Sophie Clark's apartment, the guy remarked about how attractive her figure was.
Interesting.
And asked her if she ever thought about modeling. But when the woman told her, hey, my husband's asleep in the other room, keep it down, he told her, hey, I made a mistake. Actually, I need to paint the apartment down the hall. I'm out. So another young woman on New Year's Eve, a few weeks later, her name was Patricia Bassett. She was 23. She was found dead in a locked apartment. Again, there were three stockings. Again, she had been violently sexually assaulted. And six women were dead by the end of 1962. And there was still not a single viable clue.
Now, so too young, four old.
Yes. No, too young, five old.
Five old. So okay. Now we have up to seven. They are now looking at this. They have no idea.
No clue.
Where to go.
And literally, so far, suicide is the closest they've come.
Yeah, they have no idea how to link all this together until they decide to call upon the paranormal.
Oh, I love it. This is like straight out of a comedy, straight out of a movie, what they do next.
Enter the psychic Paul Gordon, a short, heavyset man, broad with brown eyes, partially bald, and in his early 40s. And I got to tell you about where I got this information from. There's a fantastic book about the it's just called The Boston Strangler. It's by Gerald Frank.
I downloaded a PDF of it online, so it does exist if you want it.
Yeah, and I got the paperback in one of my weird bookstores. But it is one of the best true crime books that I've read in I don't know how long. It's really well written. It's very entertaining. And I got the majority of my research from The Boston Strangler by Gerald Frank. So pick that up. If you want to know more about this, then yeah. Get that book. I love it.
Are you looking to get strange stares at the bookstore today? Go with the Marcus Parks selection of The Boston Strangler.
Well, that and Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. Those are the two best books I've read.
And that's history. And that's
So Paul Gordon, remember, short, heavy set, broad, partially bald, early 40s. He spoke with a distinct lisp, but was always confident in his words.
That's good. Confidence can sell.
That's all. So that's what it's about. It's confident or very loud.
Yeah. I love that he's partially bald, right? Partially so he's just like, bald. Well, that's why I put that comb over on. Yeah, still not. I'm never described as fully bald.
And through a series of events too long to go into here, he came into the service of Detective Phil DiNatale, who now considered the Strangler to be his personal enemy and was willing to try anything after months and months of dead ends.
I love my revenge.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
him just boiling in a road. This goddamn Boston Strangler's headed out for me, and I gotta tell you, I will not rest until I catch him. They were like, hey, Phil, could you just get the fuck out of my office? You're driving me nuts.
I love it. He's a personal enemy, so it means something to him now.
Oh, yeah. So Gordon, in a series of visions, in a series of sessions that he had with Phil DiNatale, he described the crime scenes in extreme detail. He described layouts of the apartment. He described paint jobs. He described placement of furniture. Very, very good detail.
And I'll tell you, one had a great, great oak table.
It's a nice quality. That's what I like. It's like it came from upstate.
Yeah.
That's just nice. It's like a farm made it. Like some kind of farmer made it and he put squashes on it.
So this is how what we'll follow here. This is how he described the Strangler himself.
I picture him as fairly tall, bony hands, pale white skin, red bony knuckles. They're bony.
Oh yeah.
It's like he's a skeleton. His eyes were hollow set. His hair disturbed me a little bit because he has a habit of pushing back a little curl of hair that falls on his forehead. He's got a tooth missing and the upper right front of his mouth sat grass. Wet grass.
I'm just happy there's no gays in the precinct.
He's in a hospital, but it could be a kind of home.
Boston State Hospital.
He's not confined because I see him walking across a wide expanse of lawn. So nice. It's nice to have a lawn. I hate it when people have stones instead of grass.
Okay, just get back to the profile thing.
He used to beat his mother cruelly. She was an idiotic, domineering woman, and his two sisters lived unhappy lives. He's from Maine or Vermont, definitely, because of how stupid his shirt was. While he's in the city, he sleeps in cellars, then he likes to wander about the streets watching women. You see, this poor fellow is in continual search for his mother, but can't find her because she's dead.
Oh, that's very sad. Very difficult to deal with.
So after this description, DiNatale brought out a stack of photographs of men who had been caught mugging women in the area lately. Gordon picked a man who we don't know his name because he was never actually formally charged with a crime. We're going to call him Arnold Wallace. Mm-hmm. He looked at the picture. He put his hand down and he said,
"This is the man I see. Either he's the Strangler, his twin brother."
Oh,
and if he's not
goodness.
His twin brother, then I must be Mary Ellen, the woman that had taught me how to sew when I was 9.
Isn't that something? Happy we brought you in.
So this guy, Arnold Wallace, I would say that Arnold Wallace is the best suspect for the old lady Boston Strangler.
Because also, it's also sort of the Occam's razor thing of just being like, maybe it'd be cool to say he's the murderer because of his 6'2", clay-colored skin, horse face with long arms that seem to reach his knees.
Ghoulish man.
He was confined to Boston State Hospital but had ground privileges, which meant he could wander the grounds.
Yeah.
He's an ape
confined. Yeah.
Not really.
Right.
Yeah, loosely confined.
That's what Gordon said.
We only let the ugly ones roam. You know? It's like, what is wrong with this
We
hospital?
Really just like to have the big scary ones out on the lawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that matches up with one thing that Gordon said. That's the first match. He said that he's not confined because I see him walking across a wide expanse of lawns. Boston State Hospital. Arnold Wallace, he had escaped after being collared for a mugging and had been in and out of Boston sleeping in cellars the night of Ida Erga's murder.
Why didn't they pursue anything with the guy?
We'll get to that.
All right.
His records show that he had beaten his mother in the past, who was now dead, and was known to, quote, brood about sex. A former landlady who roomed with Arnold's mother recalled how Arnold would frequently beat his mother for her welfare checks, and in fact, Arnold most likely killed his mother himself.
Now, there's a lot of problems you can have with a roommate,
right.
But I feel like a big one would be if you continually watched him beat the shit out of his own mother.
Yeah, you gotta stop that at some point, you know?
Listen, man, it's cool that you drink the milk, and it's cool that you finished my last Coors Light in
Don't
there.
Mind.
But I fucking can't watch you beat your mother with that tire iron anymore.
She is old, and she is your mother, man. You gotta respect your mother, dude.
How he most likely killed her, she was lying in the hospital recovering from surgery and was found almost immediately after a visit from Arnold lying unconscious on the floor with the various tubes with which she had been fed and given plasma torn from her body.
Right.
She died a week later.
Listen, I remember one time for Christmas, I asked for a pair of bongos when I was like 10 years old. And instead, my parents got me a pillow. And I tell you right then, if my mom was in the hospital and she had a bunch of tubes in her, I would have ripped them right out as well. I understand.
Pulling out the tubes.
Would you have thrown her to the floor as well?
Had to. Would have had to.
Yeah, well, you didn't get your bongos, so that all makes sense.
Well, Arnold said that she was sleeping when she left. There were wooden slides on each side of the bed that would have prevented her from convulsing enough to fall onto the floor.
Boston, everyone is killing everybody in Boston.
And not only that, but Arnold was the only one of her children to oppose an autopsy.
No, I wouldn't do it.
And no, of course, no criminal charges were ever filed. Crack fucking job by the BPD.
What do you think? Why is that? Is it because nobody cares about the old people, or is it because they're just too lazy to do their job? Or
back
in the day, you just had to find the person holding the knife still inside of the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty much the only way you could get somebody for
murder.
We're
going to see with this whole case is that the confession is what seals it, and we're actually looking at sort of like a Russian system where it's like the confession's everything. To them, a confession is what you can use to sell the fact that you caught the murderer to the public.
Yeah.
It's not actually about solving the case.
No.
It's about getting people off your back.
I mean, they almost have negative alibis in these situations. Like, you know, people are like, I did it. And his friends were like, no, we were hanging out all night during that murder. He's like, no, I wasn't with you guys. I was killing people, I promise.
So Phil DiNatale, the detective, willing to try absolutely anything, he took Paul Gordon and they went to visit Arnold Wallace at Boston State Hospital. And strangely enough, Arnold seemed to recognize Paul when the two walked into the room.
That is rough.
That is very odd and strange.
Hey, Paul. Hey, good to see you. Glad you came by again. Suck my dick. Suck my dick again.
Did you guys ever have a relationship in the past?
No, I know.
Oh, but you didn't
seem to know. No way.
All right, so you never did anything sexually with the man.
No, Arnie and I never have fucked. I've got to go.
Let's just not talk about it again.
So when asked questions, Arnold mostly wouldn't respond, foolishly grinned, or uttered noncommittal words. He did answer two very important questions. The detective asked him, Arnold, tell me, do you like women? Do you like girls?
No, yes, I like women. I like them very much.
How about old ladies?
Oh, I like them too. I like to hug and kiss him.
And it says that his face grew dreamy as he said that.
Well, the way
word.
You say you love women does sound. It sounds like you want to kill women. Yeah.
And that was all they got out of Arnold that day. But the psychic had described Arnold with disturbing accuracy. Now, Arnold, let's get a couple of facts about Arnold. Very low IQ, somewhere between 70 and 80.
Okay.
But that does not mean that he cannot be an amazing serial killer.
Yeah.
Look at Gary Ridgway.
We have so many underperforming in school, great in the after school programs killers. Like the people that were like, he was built for the one thing. Mm-hmm. It's like Babe Ruth, he's not going to design the fucking rocket, but he's going to hit home runs.
That's right. Dress for the job you want. There's always something for you to do in this world. That's why you should always wear blood-soaked overalls. You want to be a serial killer, look like one.
Outside in.
That's right.
Now, while he did have a low IQ, he managed to escape from Boston State Hospital 5 separate times, and all 5 coincided with stranglings.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yes, very
so,
interesting.
So the time frame completely matches up with the 5
yes,
elderly women
absolutely.
That were murdered.
And during his escapes, and this goes back to some of the details that Gordon gave, Arnold also broke into the house of the Good Shepherd to see his sister, a mentally subnormal delinquent.
Yeah.
He once said to the Mother Superior, and you saw this with Fred West, you saw this with Ed Gein, he said, "You don't have to worry about the strangler. I'm the strangler."
I'm sure there was some.
And later he said, just joking. But yeah, that's he said
again,
that directly to the mother.
Not a good joke.
Jimmy, and I'm going to say it. Okay, let me say the name right. Is it Saville?
I think
Saville.
It's Jimmy Saville.
Saville. Okay,
Saville.
Jimmy,
Jimmy
Saville.
Saville.
You know, he used to always joke about it. It's not like I'm having sex with all these underage kids or you know what I am going to. These jokes are occasionally very serious.
They're called cop jokes.
They're, yeah.
It's called a cop joke. It's where everyone laughs about how guilty they are.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
In addition to that, a boy had seen Arnold or someone who looked like him slipping into Nina Nichols' apartment house on the weekend of their death.
I mean, he would do
death.
That because he was cartoonishly large and he would have to do that dumb, like, fake tiptoeing into an apartment thing.
Nobody could see me.
Mm-hmm.
He was also seen near the site of Beverly Simon's murder the day after her strangling and the site of Ida Erga's murder the weekend of her strangling. And both of those were seen. Both of those witnesses were priests.
So the
so that's been thrown out.
Well, you never
priest.
Know.
Priest only speaks in lies and dumb songs about a fake god.
They do a lot of speak song. They do a lot of speak, a lot of talk singing.
But Arnold. Bit of a tough nut to crack. Not only was his IQ between 60 and 70, he was also psychotic, mostly non-communicative, and he had no ability to differentiate between fantasy and reality, which made polygraph testing impossible.
So
but also, but perfect for working at an Arby's.
Oh absolutely amazing. Yeah. So this is like the checklist where they're like, yep, psychotic. Yeah, has no no idea what reality or fiction is. Let's have him roam. We'll make
him
a roamer.
Let
That's
him
okay.
roam.
Oh, there's patient Wallace again slowly escaping. Should we do anything? No.
Yeah, he'll come back.
He's just going to go murder a woman.
I'm just so glad we finally finished that project where we shortened all the walls. Finally,
why'd
we can
we
get some
again?
Sun in here. It's yeah. nice to get the sun in here. My houseplant's looking great.
Oh, that's awesome.
There was one attempt at communication by Arnold. A psychiatrist said that Arnold had once told him, "I want to talk to you about the stranglings." The doctor, though, was unable to talk to him immediately, and by the time he got back around to asking Arnold, "Hey, what was up with the stranglings?" Arnold refused to ever speak to him again. The psychiatrist did say that despite his low IQ, he believed that Arnold was fully capable of this sort of crime.
Of course he's fully capable. He's a moron. He has moron strength, and he doesn't think there's anything wrong between... He doesn't see how this is something wrong.
Well, no. One of the reasons why people like to say that there's no way it could have been this Arnold guy. They said, "Oh, he was too dumb, and there were no clues left. Like if he was actually this brilliant killer, there were no clues."
Well, no, he didn't smear his name in Dookie on the wall.
There's no way
it was him.
He didn't leave his license, which is a problem. And number two, the other thing is that he's just so sneaky.
Yeah, and there was nothing actually connecting him directly to these crimes, then the cops couldn't possibly imagine that this dullard could fucking outsmart the BPD.
And also,
Boston Police Department from 1962, a real tough group of people to outsmart.
We all know the secret abilities of the mentally handicapped with their bones being like sponges.
I've heard
they
that.
They can fit under doors.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need
Sneak
to break
right
in places.
Mm-hmm.
So Arnold, of course, they couldn't charge him with anything because the only thing they had was the word of a heavy-set
lisping
psychic. Yes, very excitable psychic. And eventually, Arnold would be moved to Bridgewater State Hospital, where one Albert DeSalvo was held at the same time.
Hanging out. And they were lunch buddies. They did a lot of stuff together. And apparently they started the Origami Society.
Oh, isn't that something?
Which is very nice.
You got to do something in prison.
They kept making knots.
Oh.
That was what was weird.
They were known cohorts.
That's great.
Yeah.
How's your cheese sandwich? Pretty good. How's yours?
I wish it was old lady's pussy. Right.
Man,
it's just nice to meet somebody smart in prison.
The next victim, that would she wouldn't show up for another 5 months. Beverly Samens, 23, she was found by a friend on May 8th. And the only link between all of the, or almost all of the victims, Beverly, she had a loose connection to the hospital. She worked as a rehabilitation counselor at Medfield State Hospital. She was also a music therapist at the Walter E. Fernald School for Retarded Children.
Well,
it's in the name.
Right,
it's
but nice. They didn't, but... The times have moved on.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be.
You can't just say yeah, but
for retarded children.
It actually right. changed from that. It used to be the shack for doy doys.
Oh yeah.
And they changed that because they said that they couldn't have it be called necessarily a shack for doy
right.
doys.
Right. Yeah. Turned and then the classes were like boink boink and dunk bump.
Yeah. Yeah. And how to not be so stupid all the time.
Oh, that was a tough one. That's a tough one. No one really graduated from.
So she was directly in the line of vision when one would walk through the front door. Her legs were apart. Right leg was on. The bed, left leg was over the edge between the bed and the wall. Her wrists, and this is a big change here. Her wrists were tied behind her back with a sequined scarf and a bloodstained nylon stocking, and two handkerchiefs tied together were knotted around her neck. These are similar details to the old lady strangler,
right.
But
off.
they are off. They're just slightly off.
So you think? So this is where you come up with your three person theory.
Yes. And also we're looking at this too.
Possibly four.
And she was stabbed to death. She was actually not strangled to death. The nylons were the scarves now
right.
were tied around her neck just sort of like ceremonially
yeah.
to make it look like that. But she had been stabbed. And a part of their reasoning of why she was stabbed instead of fucking choked to death was that they said because she was a music teacher and her throat muscles were too strong to be strangled.
Yeah,
so
I've
he
heard
got
that.
Frustrated and started stabbing her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire
yeah,
life.
It is fucking stupid.
Well, we would hang you, but man, you talk a lot. Your throat muscles are just really tough.
Really tough. I mean, I'm just distracted by how your muscles in your neck are flexing like it's a quad.
All right, bring in Steve the Stabber. Oh, is it my turn to execute? I haven't been called on for years.
Yep, she was stabbed 22 times.
Oh, wow.
4 in the throat, 18 in the left breast, where the stab wounds formed a bullseye design. That's an odd one.
And that is completely different.
That is yes. completely different. And none of the stockings that were tied around her neck were tied enough to kill her.
Right.
Like, yep. So
and it literally went from a person tiny nylon...
And strangling somebody so hard right. that blood came out of their ears.
Right.
Like
yeah.
literally someone who's
like
got the
fence.
Sexual... Basically, right. the reason why there was no cum on the scene was probably because it's like, not even be ridiculous, there was cum in its pants.
Yeah.
Is that this
sure.
is... It was about the... He's a process
like
killer. Where we talk about
right.
normally, like there's product and process killers. Whoever was doing this is a process killer. He likes to kill. And so it's all about that thing. The idea of stabbing somebody is still in the line of a process killer, but it's looks like, again, there's a distance effect. Strangling
right.
is the most intimate way to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most, it's you body to body against somebody physically struggling with them, and it's very intense. It's like sex because you're up against somebody. You're literally physically together, like slapping bellies mm-hmm. while you're fucking looking in her eyes. She's fucking
no,
rolls.
Don't go into I'm your sex life. It's disgusting, Henry. Nobody wants to hear about that.
Now, the next victim, Evelyn Corbin, she is the first elderly victim in over a year since Ida Erga in August of 1962.
Well, it's kind
of
like when you take a break from smoking weed for like 4 or 5 days, and then you smoke it again, you get real
tolerance
high.
Tolerance break.
Yeah, but then
yeah,
you
yeah.
just watch Netflix, but like you, this is about murder.
So on September 8th, 1963, Evelyn Corbin, 58, was found sprawled across her bed, still in the blue nightgown and gray house coat she'd worn to breakfast 2 hours before.
I don't want a victim blame again.
No, please don't.
If you want to be safe, you got to stop dressing so sexy.
They were wearing robes.
I'm just saying, if you want to be safe... Just don't do that. You
yeah,
know
Supreme
what I mean?
Court
I
think justices big, wear robes.
I
think, it's not saucy.
Again, yeah, I watch it. Yeah, how many times I'm hard watching C-SPAN?
If you don't
put on a robe. If you really want to do, what I want to say is if you don't want to be raped, ladies, is you got to wear a shirt that says, hey, don't rape me.
All right. Well, that's not a good shirt. No one's going to buy it.
So returning to form, she had been strangled with two of her own nylon stockings tied together at the throat with an extra half hitch known, this is no shit, as a granny knot.
And why is it known as a granny knot?
Because you use it to kill old women by choking
them. Oh, I see. Yeah.
And the front of the house coat, in a subtle form of escalation, had been ripped off with such force that three buttons had flown off. And her killer had stuffed her underpants into her mouth as a gag and tied a third nylon stocking and an elaborate bow around the ankle of her left foot. And the knot, again, was a double half hitch.
It's a real dainty way to kill somebody. It's never good if your last words are, "Oh, my buttons!" And then immediately gay.
I mean, feel like that's going to be your last words. It's going to be you reaching over to tie your shoes, and it's the pants button that's gonna pop, and then you're going to drop dead of a heart attack.
Yeah, I can't wait. Cannot wait for that day to happen.
We're going
to
put that on your tombstone. Oh, my buttons.
Oh, my buttons. I fell down my front stairs the other day, and I thought that was going to be it. But yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be a button situation.
And nothing, of course, had been taken, although the house had been thoroughly searched. There's a weak link. She had visited friends in Salem Hospital recently. It's still weak. But outside her kitchen window on the fire escape, police found a fresh donut. And there were no donuts inside the apartment.
Hey, Officer O'Reilly, did you eat the donut? Because that was technically
it's
evidence.
Just some, like, yeah, it's just some officer after they do the whole search be like, and now that I got my police work, now I have my nice fresh donut. Where did I leave it? Oh, no.
Yep. No donuts were found in the apartment, and none of the tenants remembered throwing any donuts out the window.
I know. They don't. That's weird.
No, we only do that on Tuesdays.
Again, I don't want to be killed in your home. A good thing to have is a nice box of fresh donuts. Because it's kind of like if you get mugged and you only have a little bit amount of money on you and they'll shoot you in the street. It's that instead, if you have donuts in the house, you just be like, I have these fresh donuts. And you'd be like, and that's part about donuts, got a hole in it. Stick your dick through that.
Stick your dick through it. Have a fake wallet. Take that fake wallet, throw it the opposite direction and run. Do that same thing with donuts.
No, same thing with donuts.
Month later, Joanne Graff, only one day after the Kennedy assassination.
Kennedy?
She was raped and strangled to death in her apartment in Lawrence, an hour's drive from Boston. Now, I want to say one quick thing about the distance. All the old ladies were killed in Boston. In fact, you can form a circle with all of the old lady murders, and that entire circle is also serviced by Boston's mass transit system, the T train.
Yeah, so they just can pop off. You see this with Andre Ticatillo. Bang. You pop off the train, you kill somebody, you get right back on the train, and then you just zip right back, and it's convenient.
And people, of course, made a big deal out of it being a day after the Kennedy assassination. In fact,
we didn't have any time to mention, no time to mourn the loss of the only Catholic president.
Boston. Exactly. Huge deal.
Oh, Kennedys are huge in Massachusetts.
Man.
They're loved for being terrible people.
Yeah. And she was strangled with two nylon stockings along with her black leotard. Now, if you'll remember, many of the young women had not only the stockings, but just a little something extra, while the old women only had the stockings. And the nylon, and in another... another twist, the nylon was tied around her neck in a very elaborate bow, much like a circus clown's oversized bow tie.
The elephant did it.
The elephant did it.
Years of abuse.
But it did, however, bear the strangler's knot. There was that. The double half hitch, the granny knot.
Again, not murdered via the nylon, though.
No.
This is just a decorative...
The final one was just tied on to be a big fuck you to everybody.
Right.
And in a mark of extra violence, there were teeth marks on her left breast.
And that's brand new information.
That's brand new. Like, nothing like that. Nothing even close to that.
So we got stabby, we got bitey, we got to no longer strangling with the nylons.
All over the place, whoever's doing this, if it's one person, and it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
The only thing close to an eyewitness came from the tenant in the apartment above her, who said that a man with green slacks had asked for Joanne Graff by name that day. The neighbor directed him to Joanne's apartment, where he heard the door open and shut just a moment after.
Have you listened to somebody who talks about when Albert DeSalvo talks about how he found the women? That's a part of a thing that could be a tidbit either got for somebody else, or how when you find out that Albert DeSalvo actually is a convicted serial rapist. He's a rapist. And what he would do is he would go into women's homes. He would get into the house posing as a workman, and he would basically just look down the apartment lines, and if it was a female's name, he'd buzz them, which is a thing, right. Which is actually a true safety thing, which is why you never put your full name on the on your mailbox, or you put an initial.
Your name should be Harry Barry, big guy who murders. Like, and just let him, just, do not I've ring
got
my
a gun.
Bell.
To be, I've got a gun.
I've got a gun. Is it sort of, I believe I'm getting the sitcom right, Becky, they replaced the daughter halfway through the sitcom.
Oh, and
Roseanne.
Roseanne.
And this is pretty much, it seems very, you know, you're looking at the same character, but you're like, it's a little off. It's a Everything's a little different. Bit different.
Yeah,
right?
Something's a little different. And she's cuter. I know that she's cuter.
Yes.
The second Becky was much cuter.
So I like the first Becky better.
I mean, she was a better
character. She was more authentic.
Yeah, she was a better character. Because
she would just,
but you know what we were getting here, to continue with the analogy, is cuter. It's just a bow.
It's just more fun.
It's just a bow.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And another strange incident involved a neighbor down the hall who, after hearing a person outside her door, noticed a piece of white paper being slipped underneath her door. The paper then moved slowly from side to side and eventually withdrew, followed by the sound of footsteps walking away.
It was a mouse.
And the way what that is it's reflecting light from the inside. Basically, you go in to look to see if there's anybody home, and if it lights up, like you go and you can like look and see if it lights up, then... Is that weird that I know that?
No, yeah. It's very interesting.
No, I mean, it's the type of things that we know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the last victim.
I think that she should have just put a little donut crumb on it.
That would have been fun. That would have been fun. Maybe he wouldn't have killed her then.
Yes. Always have donuts.
So the last victim, the woman that ends up, that kind of is rolled up in all of the Boston Strangling killings, her name was Mary Sullivan. She worked at a nurse's aide in a Cape Cod hospital.
Okay.
She was found dead and strangled 2 months later on January 4th. Definitely the most gruesome of all the murders. She was on the bed in a prop position, buttocks on a pillow, head back against the headboard, head on the right shoulder, knees up, eyes closed, a viscous liquid, possibly semen, dripping from mouth to right breast.
Oh, this is just toasted strudel. Toasted strudel.
You know, one of these days, yeah, you're going to taste semen if you keep on doing that.
Actually, that's semen.
That is semen. All right.
She was naked, and a broomstick handle had been inserted into her vagina.
Now, so, not like in a Mary Poppins kind of way.
No. She wasn't mopping the house all weird.
This was different. Not only was the way she was tied different, her like up against the bed, none of them had been propped up on the bed like that. It was also different in the fact that there was just one stocking used instead of the normal two. There was also a triple tie. There was a charcoal stocking around her neck, a pink scarf tied in a huge bow underneath her chin, and over that, tied loosely, was a bright pink and white flowered scarf. The strangest detail of all rested between the toes of her left foot. There was a greeting card that said simply, Happy New Year.
Which is just a final big fuck you that shows that the killer was ever doing this wants you to find the body just like this. It's a presentation.
Right.
And it is basically to tell you like bye-bye, hey cops, fuck you, you know, and that's it.
That's right, yeah. You know what? It was one of those, he didn't really wish us a Happy New Year at all.
This is ironic.
This is terrible. This is rude.
This is opposite day.
If you wanted us to have a Happy New Year,
you would have left this woman alive.
Yeah, she would have been. I wouldn't be working right now. What's the total time span here?
Less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, so we have...
18 months, I think.
Okay, so we have the 11 murders,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 11.
In 2 years.
There are a couple of others that DeSalvo copped to.
Which is one that he believed that he was guilty of, but it's not true, where he believed that he broke into an apartment of an older woman and she dropped dead of a heart attack.
Supposedly the second victim.
Okay.
That would be one. And there was one other that they're loosely tying to him, that Wikipedia says 13, but the general belief is that it's 11.
So
11
is pretty much the official. If this was one serial killer, 11 murders in 2 years, seems this man was busy. If it was one person,
it's
not.
Very busy.
It is absolutely
it's
very busy.
It's impossible.
Even
it's
as far
person.
As like BTK and
BTK was a guy who people that were getting up to those numbers were like Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer was
Chikatilo.
Pushing, and Chikatilo was also a nutcase.
Yeah,
and Ted Bundy killed four in one night. Like they do. Like Ted Bundy, like had a.
But I don't think any of them had the numbers of like 11 in 2 years, right?
Oh, Chikatilo. Chikatilo had 20 in a year.
Anyways,
you're talking American.
Yeah,
probably not. Maybe Ridgeway.
But we are looking at somebody that, so this is possibly not one person.
Here's my theory. I believe it's three. At least three. I think there's one guy that's killing the old ladies.
Sophie got killed by her ex-boyfriend.
Yes, Sophie. And I believe there was one guy that killed the old ladies. One guy, possibly two, that were killing the young girls. And Sophie Clark was killed by a jealous ex-boyfriend.
Which one was Sophie again?
The black girl.
Right.
She was killed because her being black is, I think, a very important detail. I think that's what takes her out
because
of the
racism of Boston cops.
Also, sexual predilections. They get locked into a groove of what they like.
Yeah.
That's what killers do, and that's why it's always the same. Unless, well, Gary Ridgway was just whoever was a prostitute. Yeah. Whoever
and Dahmer would kill different races.
Dahmer, I mean,
he was much more liberal because of his lifestyle.
Yeah.
So now we're going to see.
I mean, but most of his victims were black. But it does seem like that these kill at like one black person in these types of killings doesn't make any sense.
Right, Sophie Clark.
It seems like Sophie Clark, one, there was the semen on the rug, meaning she was sexually assaulted to completion. Two, the fact that it was kind of tied too tight around her neck because the stranglings were done by hands. Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to see in Albert DeSalvo's play, where he was truly convicted of multiple rapes, is that it was... He wanted the sex.
Yeah.
These murders are sexual killings, but they were not focused on the rape of the victims.
It was just
on the actual killing part. He was, like, actually, Albert DeSalvo was just a sex fiend.
Oh, well
I mean, he was a
that.
Serial rapist who was a disgusting human being.
That's what I mean. He's a fucking, he's a monster.
Yeah. Right.
But he wasn't, the killing wasn't what got him off. It was the subduing them, having sex with them, and then leaving.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so part two is coming up. We're going to get into the investigation. We're going to start off with the Bottomley Commission.
The Bottomley Commission?
Yes, the Bottomley Commission. We're going to go there. We're going to have... There's another psychic coming up. One of my favorite guys ever. Love this little fucker.
We're going to get to the bottom of this case.
Yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And we're all... Yeah, we're going to get into DeSalvo, the Green Man, the Measuring Man, and what comes after.
Yeah, that's don't awesome. Open that door for anybody you don't recognize because you may just get... I'm molested.
That's right. Yeah. Only put something very aggressive and always have donuts in your house. And
always
put something
have
very aggressive as your name on all of the buzzers.
So follow us on Twitter?
Yes. At Ben Kissel, at Henry Loves You, at Marcus Parks. Go to the Facebook page. Everyone's having a wild time over there.
Wild time.
Yeah. And we've got the t-shirts.
Yeah. Go to CapeComedyRadio.com/lastpodcast on the left to get your t-shirt.
Also want to give a shout out to my friend V in Atlanta. Oh. She actually got attacked in the street and she's doing fine, but I just want to say I love you and I miss you and I will see you soon.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
Terrible stuff.
Terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Rate and review us on iTunes.
Thank you. And you know, what a hell of a week for CCR. I want to thank everybody out there. Roundtable, Last Pod, Top Hat. There's a couple of other shows from
Page
CCR.
Page 7 has been great.
All in the top 200 on iTunes.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Marcus Parks, you are owed a round of applause.
Nah. So.
Not on this podcast.
Not on this one. Not on this one.
Of course,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
You guys are doing,
Yeah, so please rate and review
all
us.
Of our,
yeah.
Go to all of our shows, rate and review us. We got to 61, but we can...
We got to 58.
Yes, well, sir. Let's get us to fucking 48. Let's get us to number one. So go rate and review. Tell your friends, no matter how creepy you sound, tell everybody you can about the podcast.
That's right. We got to bump Mark Maron out of there. We
Hail
can't just be
Satan!
sad middle-aged
Satan's
man.
Gonna do it for us.
Satan will do all for us. Hail yourselves, everybody.
Heil Geen, and don't forget, we're coming to the United Kingdom on March 23rd. Go to gigsandtours.com and search Last Podcast on the Left to get your tickets.
Hail me or I'll come to your house and eat cereal.
We'll talk to people. So no one's hailing you now?
No, that's fine. That's fine. I wish you would. Please do it.
Plenty would. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to CaveComedyRadio.com.